fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. Hey, what's up? Welcome into it, my friends. It is a Monday, starting off a whole new week, setting the tone, which is the way we do it every single day. So great to have you along for the ride. This is the Voice of Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting. However you watch or listen to the show, welcome aboard.
Do it live!
Your Millennial General reporting for duty like we do every single day. What a show we have lined up today. And there are so many issues. I'm not sure, still, right to this minute, I'm not quite sure what direction we're going to go yet. There's a few different issues that I want to touch on, and I want to do them all. So we'll see how I can try and tie them all together. So welcome aboard. Great to have you. Bill Donahue joining us at the bottom of the hour. New guest on the show. He is the author of multiple books and essays. His latest book coming out in June. So get ready and pre-order now. Culture Meltdown. We'll talk about the cultural and moral issues going on in society. So we'll have that conversation here in just a little bit with Bill. Looking forward to that one. Hope everybody had a great weekend. It was crazy here in Wichita, Kansas, where I'm based out of with our flagship. There were some storms that kind of sort of rolled through over the weekend. And I got to tell you, stop teasing me. Stop teasing and preparing and then nothing happening. I was ready full on. And I said it during my national program on the weekend that I was prepared. I had my selfie stick. I was ready to go for a tornado and it didn't happen. Again, where I was at, we barely even got any rain. It just sprinkled a little bit of booming. That was about it. But good golly, man, I am ready for the severe weather. I am prepared for the tornado. Not tornadoes, because I know they're pretty devastating, but I love the rain. I love storms. There is an energy about them that just makes you feel all warm and cozy and nice, and I love them. I'm sorry. And of course, they always go around. So the tease continues, just like the end of the world, all these end of the world predictions, the doomsday preppers, the end of the world, you know, apocalyptic mindset. And they always tell me it's going to happen. And then you let me down, my friend. So stop it. Stop it, I tell you. Can you tell them, Joe Biden, can you tell them for me, please?
Stop it. Stop it now.
All right. Thank you very much. Welcome into the show. We got a lot to talk about. It was a busy weekend for sure. Little Voice of Reason. I'm just going to tease you. We're about a month out right now. But Little Voice of Reason, she is about to turn 10 years old in June. June 1st is her birthday. And she's about ready to turn 10. Now, I, as a father, am starting to panic a little bit. Number one, because that just shows how old I'm becoming. So I think the middle age crisis, the midlife crisis thing's about to set on here. My daughter, my one and only child, is about to go into double digits at 10 years old. And I'm freaking out a little bit, man. Now, she wants to do something special for the birthday. And we're starting to plan this, and we don't know what to. The last couple of years, she's had like a pool party at the community pool, and we just invite all of her friends out, and we just pay their admission in. They just have a massive pool party. We order pizza, and then she does a sleepover. And she wants to do that again, but she's also wanted to do something a little bit different this year as well. And locally, there's it's called like All Stars, and there's like a thing where you can do go-karting, and you can do rock climbing and laser tag. And it sounds like a blast, but good golly, it's pricey. So I don't know if we're going to do that one. She also wants to maybe just take a few friends and go see a movie. So it's all up in the air. But just the fact that like the priorities of what she's wanted to do has changed so dramatically over the past couple of years that it brings a tear to my eye, because now she no longer wants to play with the vast amount of Barbie dolls that are in her bedroom, although she still does once in a while. But she's very creative. She likes to draw. She likes to paint. She likes to do art projects. And then she likes to play video games. Now, you're in my realm when we play the video games. Not that I get to play a whole lot because I'm so busy. But that is something that Daddy and I like to sit and do once in a while and play games. Although she's into the Minecraft. And I've said this before. I don't get Minecraft. I get very easily bored with Minecraft. And I try not to doze off and fall asleep while we're playing it, because it's for her. Now, luckily over the weekend, we did take her after the storms that didn't happen and the sun started to come out. We took the bikes out and started riding bikes around the town, and that was a lot of fun. So, you know, the little things to do, but man, the priorities have changed. Oh, how they've changed. Now she's in ballet and she's doing basketball and she's doing volleyball and ballet are her favorite things on the face of the earth right now. So it brings a tear again to my eye. She's turning 10 in a month, and I don't know how to handle that one quite. as a father. Nonetheless, there it is. That was my weekend. I was pondering that. That was mulling that over the weekend, and it just kind of drives me wild. So anyways, hope you had a great weekend. We got a lot to talk about, obviously. There's a lot of news going on. And let's start here, shall we?
What's trending today?
I was reminiscing over that because there's a greater issue, obviously, with so many families that have the broken families. And I'm not judging families one way or the other, obviously. But as we see these protesters at universities, I was thinking about it after I got off the air on my syndicated show when I do it live on Saturday evenings. And I was thinking about what would lead these kids, these, I guess, young adults now, because they're college age, they're 18, 19, 20, 21 years old. What would lead them to do what they're doing at these universities? There are a few different headlines right now. Newsmax shows that the pro-Palestinian protesters defy the deadline from Columbia University to disband or suspend themselves. They're continuously just camping out, doing their thing, thinking that they have some type of leverage in some way to make their voice heard and somehow sway the decision-making from Israel and from Israeli leaders like Benjamin Netanyahu to do a ceasefire and stop attacking Hamas, which attacked them back in October, and then do this whole push from the river to the sea, the decimation of the Jewish community and the Jewish state, and just to hell with Jewish people altogether, which is why Jewish students and Jewish professors and everybody else can't go to these college campuses. And while this is drug on, it's getting to be kind of old news. We're sick and tired of hearing about dumb, stupid college kids. But I was pondering on the weekend on why and where they come to this and the mindset that they must be in to be advocating for something like this. And I realized, and I actually just got off the air talking about it with Armed American Radio and with Mark Walters, on society in general, on the lack of the father being present. Now, as you know, in society today, we have a divorce system, if you want to call it that, that predominantly favors women. And that the men are essentially there to be the surrogate, and then they can leave, and then they just have to pay the child support while the woman does everything else. And that's the system that we've kind of set up overwhelmingly in society here in the United States today. And it's pretty sad that there's no structure, because predominantly, now again, we're doing gender roles here. So, you know, women or progressives and the LGBTQ community that are very confused about their gender roles. I'm warning you right now, trigger warning right now. Historically, and I'm just saying that inaccurately, historically, the gender roles, not in society of how they portray, like bringing in the income or doing whatever, but the gender roles on how they take care of their offspring, traditionally, the feminine mother is the one that's the nurturing one, while the masculine father is the one that gives them the structure and teaches them life skills. Again, this may be very triggering for some, so I'm sorry, not sorry. Sorry, not sorry on that one. But traditionally, that was the gender role. So when you remove one of those by either making the male disappear completely and having just a straight feminine influence in their life, nothing against mothers. Mothers are amazing. Mothers are the one that nurture their kids. Mothers are the protectors of their kids. And then the father predominantly is the one that protects the entire family, including the nurturing mother. That when you get rid of that masculine aspect of the family, then there's no structure. They don't teach them life skills. They don't teach them how to go out and fend for themselves. They don't teach them how to go out and hunt. They don't teach them how to be the hunter-gatherer, whether it's a boy or a girl. That's the child in the relationship. There's no masculine influence. So these children, these young adults now, although they still consider themselves children, because my generation doesn't even consider themselves an adult until the age of 30. So, hey, I'm essentially a 5-year-old adult. That's the way that we've set up society today. They're desperate for that guidance, for that structure, for that foundation to be able to survive on their own. And they didn't get that. And again, nothing against the mother. The mother's one of the most vital roles that we can have. But there's no father to build that structure. So they go off to college looking for that. And what do they find? They find a bunch of political hacks and political activists that are giving that to them and leading them wrong to where you have these college kids that don't even know what they're protesting. But by golly, they're changing the world. They're taking a stand on something. They're being the activist that they're told they have to be. And they don't know what they're even fighting for. And I think that's a major issue. And then they find for some reason, they think that there's some type of leverage in that. There's a new study from thehill.com that was reporting on the difference in generations. And the headline was, Will Gen Z Cancel America? And they were talking about cancel culture. And they were talking about, obviously, the fact that they feel very triggered on everything and that everything has to be monitored because of hate speech or because of identity politics or whatever garbage that they want to, you know, use the check boxes for in society. But if you scroll the way down through the article, if you read this, and I highly recommend that you do, there was an identity crisis, what they call a national identity, that's very distinct for different generations. And Gen Z is trying to fill that void. There's no identity to them. In fact, according to the article, only 17% of Generation Z, the one behind me, behind the millennials, 17% say that it's important to be proud to be an American, to actually have a national identity of actually the nation that they're growing up in, of actually being an American. 17%. That's insane when you had, and then it breaks down by political party as well, but that's a major difference when you have the boomer generation that is overwhelmingly like 90% on the political aisle recognize that you have to have some form of identity and that it's good to be proud to be an American and that you see overwhelmingly that you're very patriotic. But this Gen Z, they don't have that. Why? Why don't they have that? Well, we have a public education system, obviously, that's teaching them that America's bad. Christopher Columbus is the only oppressor that came here as the white person killing off the Native Americans and killing off these indigenous people, which is why we're trying to fully just get rid of Columbus Day and doing Indigenous People's Day, which we know is not true, right? We know Native Americans enslaved other Native Americans. I always make the joke that the Aztecs used to play soccer with the skulls of their enemies. We know that there were scalpings. We know that there was slavery. We know that there was massive hostility. If you watch the movie 1883, or the TV show, which by far is one of the best written TV shows I think I've ever seen, kind of the prequel to the show Yellowstone. If you remember that the girl, the main character of the story, got killed by an arrow that was dipped in feces from the Native Americans because they were very brutal. So that way, even if you got nicked by it, you get an infection and die. They were brutal individuals out there. And that's not an attack on Native Americans. That's human culture. That's just what we do as humanity, as we fight people that are different than us. But they want to take that away because, well, we don't want that identity of the evil, oppressing white people that took over this land and started a new nation. So by that type of teaching, the 1619 Project and this other garbage that we've done, we've brainwashed this young generation into thinking that they're bad and that you should not be proud of where you come from, even though we are still the greatest nation on the face of the earth and the only last safe haven for freedom, for individualism, for the lack of servitude, for the concept of limited government, for individual sovereignty. We're the last safe haven. There's no barren new land that we can go to and start over as a new pilgrim. We can't do it. There's nowhere else to go. We're the last place to do that. And it's crumbling before our eyes with a generation that has a broken family unit, that has a broken education system, that's taught that they're bad and horrible, and they're trying to make good on the sins that their ancestors created somehow by trying to be this crazy activist, which is why we see them now going down the wrong road, being led astray, having their minds being absorbed by activists while they're looking for structure and purpose in their life. Kind of deep on a Monday, right? But it blows my mind how we're seeing how stupid they are, but it's not really their fault. It's the generations before them that didn't give them the proper structure.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
So I was scrolling through social media, which, by the way, welcome back into the show. 24 minutes past the hour, radio, TV, live streaming, podcasting. Find us all over our social media at Hoosier Reason, H-O-O-S-E-R Reason, on all of your favorite social media sites, literally every one of them, even the evil TikTok. Yes, we are on there as well. I don't use it much or post. I do view it a lot, but I don't post a lot on there. But you can find me on there, Facebook, the Tweety, or X. I was scrolling through X actually during the break. And we have our live video stream on there right now, too, if you want to watch it. You know how at the bottom of a post, at least on Twitter, there's like a place where it says from and like a location where you're broadcasting from or what you're doing or where you actually posted. There's not a, you know, Kansas or a Wichita, Kansas or anything like that. No, it says from Earth. So we have to put that distinction out there. Now, we're broadcasting from Earth. So welcome into it. This is Earth. Welcome.
Weird news welcome. Of the day.
Yeah. Welcome to Earth. This is where the insanity happens, trying to bring that sanity back into the world that is insane on Earth. By the way, just to recap that story, and again, you can find it from thehill.com, there, the identity crisis definitely shows a drastic change for those 65 years and older, according to the stat. This is from the American National Election Study of 2022. For those 65 years and older, you would think a predominantly more conservative generation. On the issue of how important it is to being an American as part of their identity, over 60% of liberals and 96% of conservative Republicans say that being an American is very or extremely important to them. Again, 96% of Republican conservatives and 60% of liberal Democrats at 65 years and older. That's a relatively good sum. And even on the Democrat side, 60% of them are like, yeah, you know what? We may disagree on issues, but it's still good to be an American. Still very proud of that. A little bit different from those under the age of 30 in the Gen Z category, where overall 55 points and only 18% of young liberals say that being an American was very important. The poll also showed that 74% of those 18 to 29 Republicans, 55% only thought that they would rather live in America than any other place on the face of the earth. Republican and Democrat alike, 55% that they would say that America is still the greatest place to live and that this is where they would choose to live if given the choice of other places. That to me is absolute insanity. We're missing an identity not only as an individual based on the nuclear family unit like we talked about in the last segment, but also as a nation. And that's why we see such low enrollment numbers with the military. People wanting to register because why do I fight for this country? The hell with this country. If it falls, oh, well, that's okay. Somebody else will take over. Not a big deal. It's the punishment of our sins is what Jeremiah Wright said, the priest from Barack Obama. The chickens are coming home to roost. And that mindset now has infiltrated the young generation without that influence of standing up for something. Everybody remember the song from Aaron Tippin? You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. It's where we're at right now. We don't stand for things because, well, you know, hey, we don't want to offend somebody. We don't want to stand on our principles because they might be different for somebody else's principles, which are completely fine. Cool. Live your life, bro. Do your own thing. Doesn't really matter. But when we are so apologetic for our own, then we end up seeing what happens today. So now we're open to being infested by the ridiculousness of ending literally an entire nation and calling for the extermination of an entire group while they blame us on doing so. We got to bring that culture back, which is what's going to lead perfectly into our segue for our next guest with Bill Donahue after the break, coincidentally. But that culture of who we are and what we stand for is up in the air right now. Now, I've heard from both sides, Gen Z and those behind them could be the most conservative generations really since World War II, because they see how screwed up things are. But the generation of my daughter that's about ready to turn 10 years old, she's going to be the one that has to deal with this stuff and have to bring that back, because these generations are trying to find their identity. And I think it's the lack of an identity that we have because of the family unit, the education system, and families that are just, by the way, working two or three jobs because they have to pay for the Biden inflation that continues to wreak havoc on the economy. What a crazy world we live in. Just some assumptions. Just some observations. How do we fix those? That's a lot deeper conversation that's going to take some more time to do. And we'll do it right here for your voice of reason. Why? Because we are the voice of reason, common sense, and rationale. Stay right here.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When reason meets radio, this is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome back into it on the home stretch here for a Monday. Greatest day of the entire week. Setting that tone, trying to cram that 10 pounds of reason into that 5-pound bag. Trying to rebrand the millennial generation. One radio listener at a time and on multiple radio stations all over the place. We'll get Bill Donahue on the program momentarily. He is working on some other interviews and things right now, so he'll be calling in here shortly, but that's all right. It kind of teed it up perfectly for him with this cultural conversation with the kiddos and what we're dealing with right now with these colleges that are just absolutely insane. They think they have some type of leverage by just disobeying the deadline to disband or suspend. That one not really happening, so kind of strange. Have no fear, though, the voice of reason is here. Let's get into what's trending, shall we?
What's trending today?
I want to go to the court system for just a moment here, shall we? There is an interesting, obviously right now there's a lot of different court cases happening. The Supreme Court that will be convening back here in the next month, talking about numerous issues, including the presidential immunity that Donald Trump could have with some of the issues that the Democrats are trying to keep him off the ballot for, which Eric Trump was on Fox News just recently over the weekend talking about some of those. And he brings up an interesting point about being able to go after any president that may have a challenge that the national public necessarily didn't like or they thought was the wrong call.
Well, God help us if they get it wrong. That's what I take away. I know the system very, very well. And the only people who are going to benefit are big law firms in Washington, D.C., because they are going to go after every single president. They'll start with Obama, fast and furious, right, where he gives 2,000 weapons to cartel members. And then they'll go to Obama where he weaponized the IRS against conservatives. They'll probably go after Joe Biden for having cocaine in the White House. They'll go after Biden then for raiding his opponent's home. They'll probably go after him after that for literally 2 weeks before the 2022 primaries, literally depleting the petroleum national, you know, the reserves, so he could lower gas prices by 4 cents and hopefully help him actually in the polls. I mean, where do you want to stop? Are they going to go after George Bush for lying about, you know, weapons of mass destruction? You know, where does this stop, Maria? The only people that are going to win are going to be the lawyers in Washington, D.C. Mm. The floodgates are going to open, and I guarantee you Joe Biden will not have 1 foot outside of the White House doors before they start going after him legally, ruthlessly. Presidents need immunity in this country. If they don't, their entire tenure as president is literally going to be filled in depositions and subpoenas like they've tried to do to my father for the last 8 years. We can't have this legal lawfare in this country. We need a president to actually be able to function and run the United States of America.
That makes sense. That audio from Fox News, by the way, with Eric Trump from over the weekend, he makes a great point. And as we talk about cultural issues, we talk about societal issues, we talk about the understanding of what right and wrong is, the foundation that, again, the male, a masculine type of presence in a child's life, where we see just this lack thereof that's causing all these issues at college campuses, we're really seeing that that's leading to the court system as well. Now, the judicial branch, for those, again, on the other side of the aisle, here's a bit of a civics lesson for you. There are three branches of government, not four. There are three. There's the executive, that's the president, that you try to lump in, oh, this department, this agency, this department. There's the president that enforces laws. There's the legislative that creates the laws that then sends it to the president for them to sign or agree upon and decide whether they're going to enforce it or not. Then there's the judicial branch that looks it over and makes sure that it's constitutional. In all three of those, we have a system called a checks and balance system. It's wild. We don't use that much anymore, but it's supposed to happen. We've gotten to the point now where we have gone so far from understanding right and wrong, good and bad, positive, negative, action and consequence, effect, action and reaction, cause and effect. We've gone so far away from understanding that basic concept in society that now what do? We look towards the legal system to make all our decisions for us. What should be happening is the federal government gets involved very little in our lives. Then it gets defaulted back down to the state level at a concept of quote-unquote federalism. And the states do what they can to regulate more things, but even try to bring it down to the county level, that brings it down to a city level, that really brings it down to two individuals making commonsensical conversation and common sense types of agreements with each other without having to take it to a court system because they can work out their differences together. I know that's a wild thought, and according to Democrats, we're not allowed to do that. In fact, they're the ones that when we reversed Roe v. Wade, they said people were dying in the streets because they didn't know if they were allowed to go and get life-saving measures at the doctor's office. Like, how stupid do you think we are? How stupid do you think that the American people are? Apparently very stupid if that's the level that we've gotten to. But, I mean, I get the immunity issue is one that needs to be looked at, I guess, by the Supreme Court and be like, well, is he allowed to do certain things and make decisions without the public coming after them? But let's bring it down to a state issue for just a moment, shall we? There is this, again, this entitlement, this mindset of society's going to take care of me, this mindset of the Gen Z that's not proud of their nation and don't want to identify as an American, but definitely piggyback and try to hype up themselves on using the system as much as possible and demanding that the system actually take care of them, if that makes sense. Can you wrap that one around your head for just a moment? I don't want to be an American. I don't like the nation. we're oppressors, there's systematic racism, this nation's a terrible place because I've never been taught to actually appreciate the values and the freedoms that I have here. But by golly, I demand the government to do things for me and take care of me. That's the world that we live in today. There's a headline from Newsmax. Federal court rules that state health plans must pay for transgender care. Oh, yes. Now, I want you to go back to a little bit of a philosophical statement for just a moment. And I want to ask you the question, what is the purpose of a healthcare system? What is healthcare? It is obviously taking care of someone's healthcare needs. Like if you have a broken leg, then they mend it up. If you're sick, then they try to make you better. That's the purpose. If you're having a pregnancy and you're trying to have a baby, then they help you with that process. They make you healthy. That's what the purpose is. Now, let's just say that a woman wants to do a nose job, for example, if you know what I mean. A nose job. We're going to keep it family friendly on this program. They want to do a nose job. Is that a necessity in order for them to survive? Or is that a cosmetic decision because they want to feel better about themselves by getting a nose job? I guess a nose job would really would. And I guess some actually need a nose job, like legitimately a nose job, because maybe they have bad sinuses and they can actually clean stuff out and they can get better with themselves. If you remember, Angelina Jolie got female parts adapted with that job done because there was a long-running concern of breast cancer in her family. So she wanted to get rid of the parts that could give her that cancer and got the implants done. So there's a need or a concern for that, but was it necessary at the time to say the government in a healthcare system is demanded to cover this stuff, or else it's an evil system that's oppressing me because I'm going to die at the end of the day?
We're all going to die because of you!
It brings up an interesting conversation. So in the realm of a transgender individual who wants to have a transition, is it a necessity for them to survive? Or is it just a cosmetic thing for them to feel better about themselves? If I want to get my stomach stapled because I don't want to eat as much so I can lose weight so I don't get hungry as often, is that a necessity for me so I don't die? Or is that a cosmetic thing for me to feel better about myself? I think we're starting to blend what role is of a necessity and of a personal choice. And ding, ding, my friends, that's where we come into the concern about a first world generation that lives in a first world nation that feels like the nation who is oppressing them now demands everything from that government to give them all of these things. Is it not right? According to the article from Newsmax, the state of Virginia and the federal appeals court said that the state health care plan, the Medicaid program, funded by your taxpayer money in the state of Virginia, that your state health care program option for low-income individuals, for disabled individuals, for people that can't afford to be able to get on a private insurance plan, that you that are on the government dime must have your transgender operations actually covered. As they say, the ruling stemmed from the battles over West Virginia and North Carolina's refusal to cover certain health care for transgender people with the government-sponsored insurance. The appeals to the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled in a 8-6 vote that it must actually be voted on or else the state's health care plan is discriminatory. The decision came with an individual who was a black transgender, apparently, individual. Why that matters, I don't really know. By the name of Shantae Anderson, a black transgender woman in the West Virginia Medicaid program, said that it is deeply dehumanizing if the state's refusal to cover the actual care. Now, again, if I want some type of cosmetic surgery done to feel better about myself, is it my duty to just, you know what, I have the right to do so? If you're an adult, all the power to you, my friend. Go and do whatever you want to with yourself. If you want to chop off body parts, if you want to do different hormones and affect your body, if you want to tattoo your entire self up, I demand, ladies and gentlemen, as a millennial, as a metalhead, someone who enjoys the flavors of rock and roll in my daily life, who has a braided mohawk, for crying out loud, I demand that the state cover my tattoos. Why? Because if not, then I don't feel like I'm truly myself. I don't feel like I am truly who I am meant to be with my entire body covered in tattoos that needs to be funded by the federal government. You need to take care, or the state government. I don't really care. The county government. The county government, you can pay for my tattoos. But I don't feel truly who I am until I get those. And the fact that I can't afford those means that society is discriminatory because I should be able to get whatever I need. and I need them. I don't want them. I need them in order to survive. Do you think that we've crossed the line just a little bit here? You think so?
I'm special.
I know. So now we have this mindset that I hate the federal government. I hate the nation that I live in. I'm not proud of the nation. I won't stand up to defend it, but by golly, the nation needs to actually give me what I need, because now we've blurred that line of what we need and what we actually want. To me, that's a sign of concern for a generation that has an identity crisis right now on many different levels, on what their identity is as a someone from a certain nation, from a heritage, from a culture, from a family unit, and apparently from a gender as well. We just have an identity crisis all around. We need to bring something like that back. Lots more coming up. One more segment right around the corner for a Monday here on The Voice of Reason.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
By the way, this entire conversation we've had this entire hour of the program was not intended like this. Is nothing that I had actually planned to talk about today. But it's a fascinating conversation for sure. Again, unveiling the layers of the onion, going a little bit deeper than what really any other talk show host is going to do. And to make you think a little bit on what those deeper rooted issues are. Now, the bigger question is, with these problems now, is it the government's ability or even duty to solve them? Or is it going to be us culturally just doing our thing, being that representative, being that one leading by example in our own community and just living our lives, doing our thing and bringing back some of that common sense? By the way, the court case on forcing the state's Medicaid program to cover transgender operations. There was a similar case back in 2022 in North Carolina where the trial court demanded the state's plan pay for, quote, medically necessary services that included hormone therapy and some surgeries for transgender employees and their children. Now, okay, I guess this is, again, the power that we've given the court system, because we can't figure out common sense on our own. We have to let the courts make these decisions. And then the activists that are on the court system actually are the ones that make these stupid decisions. So a medically necessary service that includes hormone therapy, again, like blocking hormones and adding hormones that your body wouldn't naturally create. What we're essentially saying in that situation, look, I've learned more about hormones and about bodily and doctoral things more than I ever wanted to with interviewing doctors on this program. And then, of course, Mrs. Voice of Reason, which many of you know, with her Hoosier Health products. And one of her biggest, most popular things that she has is actually a natural hormone regulator. If anybody looks up wild yam, it's a natural, holistic way to balance hormones naturally. And by the way, she makes some of that, HoosierHealth.com. But I roll it in, and I do it every single day. It works for men and women. I roll it every single day, and it's given me energy again. It's boosted my testosterone the levels that it needs to be at, because I sit in a studio for 10 hours a day. I lose a lot of testosterone. I lose a lot of my energy. So I started getting on this stuff that she makes, and it's amazing. But what it does is it balances out your hormones naturally, what your body is supposed to be producing naturally, as a female that has more estrogen and a little bit of testosterone, and men who have a lot of testosterone and a little bit of estrogen. It balances out naturally. So what you're telling me, trial court in North Carolina back in June of 2022, is that the body that's natural, and that someone that's trying to do something abnatural, non-natural, very foreign to what the body wants, by forcing a blockage of a certain hormone that the body's trying to produce naturally and injecting more of a hormone that the body's not used to having in there, that could cause, by the way, some serious health issues, because if you're off on your hormones, any woman, and you'll know this if you're a woman, if you've gone through maybe a hysterectomy or if you're in menopause times, again, I've learned way more about this than what I ever thought I would from talking to doctors on this program and what my wife does as a master herbalist, that if your body's off on hormones and you're doing some intense hormone therapies by someone who maybe has gone through menopause or went through a full hysterectomy, that you have an insanely high risk of cancer, or higher risk than normal of cancer, because your body doesn't know how to handle the hormones that are being injected into it. And I'm talking about a hormone therapy for, again, someone who's gone through a hysterectomy, doesn't produce hormones naturally, and they have to have them back in their body supplementally. you're at a ridiculously high rate of cancer, which is why my wife, who's gone through a hysterectomy, wanted to get off of those hormone therapies and wanted to do it naturally, which is why she created what she did. But what you're telling me is that it's, according to the court system, who are not doctors, by the way, that it's medically necessary to have a state-funded healthcare plan fund hormone therapies and surgeries for people by affecting their natural hormone levels and injecting in supplemental hormone levels that could cause a risk of some serious health issues, and that's considered medically necessary for the state government and the taxpayers to actually fund. That's insanity. We've crossed the line from actual understanding basic biology and basic medical advice to just saying, do whatever you want to do, we'll fund it, and then when you get sick, our bad. Don't worry. The healthcare plans and the taxpayers will actually subsidize us and take care of it when you're done as well. Like, that's insane. When did we get to a point like that? When did the activist courts allow that type of behavior to be? And why aren't we screaming from the rooftops that we're actually going to cause more harm to these people, potentially, allegedly, than just saying, you know what? Maybe that's not a good idea. Do what you want to. Like, if you choose to do it on your own, all the power to you, my friend. I applaud you for making an adult decision all by yourself. Good on you. Pat you on the head. But to have the government, to have you, the taxpayer money, the taxpayer worker, actually subsidize this stuff to harm people more than it actually helps them, that's insanity. And Virginia's gone down that road, as so many other Medicaid programs have around the country and each individual state. We have some serious work to do. That does it for us today. Back at it again tomorrow to kick off a post-Monday celebration. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Be that catalyst for change. This is the Voice of Reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.